This is Dr. Mike Chupp, your host of CMDA Matters, and today we're going to be talking about and focusing on how to handle a marriage that's in crisis. My special guest is Mrs. Linda Rooks, who's authored her second book entitled Fighting for Your Marriage While Separated, A Practical Guide for the Brokenhearted. You know, there's no question that healthcare marriages, even for those who are most committed followers of Christ, can be very difficult and stressful, both for those in training and those in practice. I wanted to share with you about two CMDA ministries before I get to the interview. CMDA ministries that assist medical, dental, and other healthcare marriages to thrive. Now, the first is called Side by Side. This is a network of nearly 100 local chapters across the United States, and these groups encourage and minister to women who are in healthcare marriages where their husbands are students or residents or are graduates, and they do this through regular fellowship and Bible study. If you'd like to learn more about this marriage supporting ministry, just go to our website, cmda.org/side-by-side, all one word, /side-by-side. Also, for many years, there's a ministry that my wife Pam and I benefited from in the mid-90s that comes from a commission of CMDA called CMDA's Marriage Enrichment Commission. And that commission has sought to nurture strong partnerships within healthcare marriages. As I said, my wife Pam and I attended one back in the mid-90s in Grand Rapids, Michigan, when I was just in my second year of general surgery practice. It was a tremendous weekend together for the two of us. We were investing in our four-year-old marriage. You know, as I listened to other doctors around the circle and their spouses sharing their successes and failures, I realized just out of the blue that I was headed down a risky path of putting the success of my surgical practice and the adulation of my patients ahead of God's priority for my young marriage. These Marriage Enrichment Weekend events consist of brief information sessions, some private time for couples to work through assignments which assess their marital relationship, and then some small group sessions which address the unique needs and stresses of healthcare marriages. There are actually two of these Marriage Enrichment Weekends scheduled later this year. One is happening in the very same location where Pam and I attended in Grand Rapids, Michigan, September 25th through the 27th. There's also a second Marriage Enrichment Weekend in Kingston, Tennessee, in the midst of beautiful Tennessee fall foliage, October 23rd through the 25th. You can learn more about these particular Marriage Enrichment Weekends and the whole ministry at cmda.org/MEW, MEW standing for Marriage Enrichment Weekend. Well, I want to get us now to that interview, and I want to introduce my special guest, Mrs. Linda Rooks. Linda Rooks is the author of Broken Heart on Hold, Surviving Separation, as well as Fighting for Your Marriage While Separated, A Practical Guide for the Brokenhearted. Linda knows what it's like to fight for your marriage. After being married for more than 20 years, she and her husband were separated for 3 whole years before reuniting. They've now been married over 40 years. And today, not only is their marriage thriving, but together they lead a crisis marriage class in Central Florida. As a freelance writer, Rooks' writings have appeared in many national publications, including editions of Chicken Soup for the Soul, Focus on the Family, Home Life, and Today's Christian Woman. She has appeared on TV and radio across North America. Linda and her husband have 2 married daughters and 5 grandchildren. You can learn more about Linda Rooks and her ministry at fightingforyourmarriage.net, or you can follow her on Facebook, Broken Heart on Hold. I want to welcome to the microphone Linda Rooks.
Thank you very much. It's great to be here with you.
Well, tell us just a little bit about your story and bring us up to the writing of the book, Fighting for Your Marriage While Separated, Practical Guide for the Brokenhearted.
I always wanted to write, but God always took me on a lot of detours. I didn't get quite to it. But then my husband and I hit a snag in our marriage, and in fact, it was a crisis. And he left, actually. We ended up being separated for 3 years. During the time that we were separated, for me, it was a very traumatic time, a painful time. And I didn't know what I was going to do. I didn't know how I was going to deal with one moment at a time. Mm. And so since I was a writer, I would sit down many times and just write my feelings and my thoughts until God brought me to a place of peace. And I did this over and over. And when my husband and I did finally get back together, I looked at some of the things I'd written and I thought, you know, these might be able to help other people. And I showed them to him and he read them and he said, Linda, this is a Romans 8:28. This is how we can take the pain that we've suffered in our marriage and use it to help other people. Mm. Those writings ended up becoming my first book, which was Broken Heart on Hold. And then I think the one you want to talk about today is my second book, which is called Fighting for Your Marriage While Separated. The second book resulted because after the first book came out, I got so many emails from people who were going through that same kind of thing, and they wanted answers, and so I would write them back, and I ended up with a ministry online, and then my husband and I decided to start a ministry in our church called Marriage 911.
Yes.
And we've been doing that now for, oh goodness, 13 years, I believe it is. And we have seen so many marriages come back together, and so many of those people, I mean, they felt hopeless. And a lot of them came with divorce papers in hand. You know, they thought divorce was inevitable. We have been able to see so many marriages come back together that that resulted in my second book, Fighting for Your Marriage While Separated. And there's a lot of those stories in the book. It's just so many, such a variety. You know, there's all different kinds of problems and all different kinds of solutions. And those people really kind of taught me basically, you know, what it takes, along with my own story, you know, of what it takes for a marriage to come back together after a crisis tears it apart.
Could you share with us just a little bit the path that led you and Marv, your husband, toward your 3-year separation?
Well, he's an attorney, and now he's a law professor, but he was an attorney, and we both had very busy lives, and we went separate ways in many ways. And we also did not resolve problems. You know, we just swept them under the rug and we just didn't deal with them. Those problems just got bigger and bigger after a while. You know, when you don't resolve problems, what ends up happening is after a while, you don't even know what your actual problems are because you're usually arguing over the ways that you're dealing with the problems. You know, they just sort of pile up and you don't even know what your real problems and differences are because you just have such a negative emotional thing going on between you. And so so there came a time when we were arguing on Easter, and he walked out the door. And one of the patterns in our marriage had been that when we would have an argument, a lot of times he would walk out the door, and then he'd come back an hour later or so, and we would both act like nothing had happened. And so, you know, this was one more time when he walked out the door, and I kind of assumed that the same thing would happen, but this time he didn't come back. He didn't come back for a couple of days, and then 3 days, and then a friend went and checked on him and talked to him, and he said he was just reading a book and chilling out, and he didn't know when he was going to come back. And so that panicked me, and I didn't know what was going to happen. And we ended up being separated for 3 years.
So during that separation, was one of you or the other, it seemed, was more interested in getting back together? And then also the D word, divorce, was that on your mind at that time? Or was it that you both talked about that maybe we can work this out?
Well, I was definitely wanting to get the marriage back together, he really didn't know. He didn't know what he wanted. And at one point, he did bring up the idea of a divorce. That was after we actually went to a counselor early on, with her goal was to get us back together in the house, same house. And he did move back in the house. And he was back for 2 months, but nothing had changed. And he ended up leaving again. And this time he was talking about a possible divorce. So that went on about 4 months. And then after that, he said, well, he didn't know if he wanted a divorce. So we just kind of hung in limbo, not working on anything, just in limbo, you know, nothing happening. Back and forth, there'd be times when we'd see each other because of our daughters and things like that. And then, you know, there were things that definitely happened along the way that made a big difference.
Share with us just a few. I read through your book and learned a lot of things that are going to be helpful. I will just mention that I started reading your book as I was celebrating an away weekend with my wife, Pam, on our 28th wedding anniversary. And she saw me over there reading, "What you reading, honey?" And I said, well, Fighting for Your Marriage While Separated. Why are you reading that book? I said, well, it's an interview that's coming. Oh, wow, what a relief. But I'll be honest with you. I will be honest with you that I learned some things that I can apply to my own 28-year-old marriage, which, like every marriage, has its ups and downs and challenges. And just sort of give us some basic principles on what it looks like to fight for your marriage while separated.
First of all, I think the first thing you need to do is realize when your marriage is broken to the point of separation that there really is something broken in your marriage, and the things that you've been doing and you're taking for granted that this is how you resolve problems or this is how you do things probably are not right. You know, you probably have some things that are wrong, and you need to step back and really look at your marriage and think about what you need to do differently. And basically, you know, as Christians, the first thing is to really ask God to show you what you need to do and really focus on God instead of your spouse or your marriage. Because too often what happens when the marriage is really in crisis is that people are just, they're just focused so much on their spouse, they can't really get a handle on what God might be leading them to do. And so the first thing as Christians that I really, and you know, it sounds trite, but it's true. You know, you need to truly focus on God and allow Him to show you what you need to do, because probably there's things that you need to do differently, you know, and you may be blaming your spouse and thinking everything's their fault. One thing that I have found that is really key, and I have seen so many marriages with this particular dynamic, is that in a lot of marriages, one spouse is more assertive and one is more passive. Mm-hmm. Assertive can just mean that they just know their own thoughts and they express them and they're very confident in what they believe. Or it can mean that they're overpowering and they won't let the other person really express themselves. They just keep pushing, you know, until the other person gives in or hovering around them and they won't ever let them have any time alone. You know, that assert, or it can be abusive, you know, it can be all kinds of things. And the passive spouse may be one that just doesn't like conflict, or they're not very good at expressing themselves. It might be a woman who's trying to be submissive, whatever. But what I've seen in these marriages that are like this is when the separation occurs, it's the passive one who leaves. And it's because they have come to a point where they don't feel any power in the marriage. They feel like the other one is just overwhelming them, and they just are being suffocated and they leave. And so the assertive person, of course, is the first one who usually can do something about it, and they can, you know, make some changes in themselves where they give their spouse more freedom to be able to express themselves and be, you know, who they are and have opinions and, you know, and the assertive person, a lot of times they're just there, they feel like they're right, you know, they've got the right opinions, everybody should just agree with them. If the more passive one is not expressing themselves, they just kind of figure, well, they're going along and everything's fine. So, but that's a very common dynamic.
And in your book, Linda, you recommend that really giving the one who leaves space, the one who's trying to fight, should give space to the one who's left. And so that must be a challenge for spouses separated to hold off and give space to the one who's, as you say, passive and feels like now the only way to deal with this marriage is to leave.
Absolutely. And it's actually the opposite of what most people want to do. You know, when one spouse leaves, the one that's been left behind, and particularly if they're the more assertive one, they want to just chase after them and find out what they're going to do and when they're coming back and why is this happening and let's go to counseling and everything like that. And so giving them space is the last thing, you know, that comes to their mind. But it is extremely important, because if the person has left, undoubtedly they are running from some kind of conflict. The conflict might be in the home. The conflict might be just something in their own heads. You know, they may be dealing with things on their own that they need to kind of sort out and have some time for. So, yeah, that's a really, really important principle.
You spent a whole chapter talking about getting help from the outside, and that not all help on the outside is worthy of pursuit. I was so surprised to hear that some counselors just right off the bat say, oh, this is hopeless. You need a divorce.
Yes. Yeah. That to me was a really important chapter to put in my book, because I have had so many people come to our classes and they've said, we had a counselor that said, I can't believe you're even putting up with this anymore. And yet they ended up getting their marriages back together and they're happy, you know, today. So I saw this so often. And so it's really important when people go to counseling for marriages that they really get a marriage counselor, because, you know, a lot of times you just think, oh, I'll go to a Christian counselor and that should be fine. But if a counselor has not had specific marriage training, they aren't handling the counseling situation the way a marriage counselor would, because a marriage counselor recognizes that they're dealing with three different clients. There is the man, there is the woman, and there is the marriage. And they need to be able to minister to all three of these. And so a person who's untrained as a marriage counselor will just immediately think it's hopeless, because they don't know how to identify or deal with the dynamics that are undermining the relationship. So the person who is a marriage counselor understands all these dynamics and knows how to deal with it. So it's really important to make sure that it is a marriage counselor that you go to, and not just a nice Christian counselor that will help you as an individual. You know, they want to know how you feel and that kind of thing. But with a marriage counselor, it's very different.
Well, what advice could you give for friends or family who are looking in, walking alongside one or both spouses and seeing this marriage in the midst of crisis? How can they offer support?
Well, first of all, you know, a lot of times a friend, if they haven't been through that or they don't know anyone who has survived a real crisis, their first thought is, I don't know how in the world they're going to deal with this. You know, I can't see any hope. And they want them to be happy. And so a lot of times they'll actually encourage them to move on, or, you know, well, you can do better than this or something like that. So the first thing to do is realize that there is hope. And it doesn't matter how difficult the situation, there is hope. And to mainly listen, let their friend just talk to them. And I had a friend that, you know, we hadn't really been close friends. She was in the church and she heard about my situation. And she just came to me and said, you know, I heard about what's happening, and if you want to get together and talk, I'd love to do that. And so we got together many times, and she would just listen, and she had little bits of advice she would give me occasionally, but mainly she was just listening. Also, you know, maybe if you can, if you know of other people who've been through that kind of thing, maybe connect them with somebody like that. And realize, too, another thing is that your friend may not be acting in ways that are typical of them. They may be kind of crazy in a way. You know, when you're in crisis, sometimes you're doing things that other people might not realize. And don't judge them. You know, don't give too much advice. If you haven't been there, you probably really don't know what to say. And just, podcast, do lots of listening.
I shared with my wife your illustration that you got from one of those who've told their story in your book about the coffee filter and how if we, because my wife and I love coffee, and the whole idea that if you don't have that filter and the coffee grains make it down, it's just bitter and nasty. And so it wasn't long after that I shared that illustration that I brought up some idea from our time as missionaries, and it just – my wife took her hands and she put it above her head and reminded me that I didn't filter what I shared with her. And so that mental picture is now very vivid in my mind to filter what I say and be very careful, because I know my wife and I know the things – that are not going to cause her to feel cherished and appreciated just from our history.
That is one of the most popular images I use in the class is the coffee filter, because, you know, I mean, people think, oh, I'm just being honest, I'm just saying what I think, you know, but sometimes the words that come out just are too blunt, you know, and you just need, as you said, you need to filter. You know, you have the thoughts in your head, but filter them a little bit before they come out your mouth. You know.
Linda, talk about the children involved in the marriage where there's a separation, some principles for the spouse who's fighting for this marriage, and children who are involved, whether staying with the one who's fighting or the one who's not, who's outside. Talk about those principles.
Well, it's important to keep things as normal as possible to start with. And also, it's important that you don't pile up all your negative feelings on your child. You know, you need to still speak well of your spouse, even if you're going through negative times. And realize that your child is going through a hard time also. I mean, anything like this is very hard on the children. And so they're dealing with their own emotions, and they don't need to deal with yours as well. You need to find outlets for yourself to talk to. I mean, sometimes if your children are a little older, you might want to talk to them about your problems, but they're not the ones. They shouldn't be your confidants. You know, they need to just see you dealing with things as positively as you can on your side. And make sure they know that it's not their fault. Mm-hmm. You know, some children think it's their fault that you know, they may have seen you arguing over them or something and think it's their fault when a marriage starts falling apart. And also make sure that they know that they can express their feelings to you freely, you know, whether they're negative or positive, and find somebody they can talk to. You know, maybe a counselor or maybe another family member, somebody that they can talk to about their feelings. One of the interesting things about this chapter on the children was that my daughter is the one who wrote it. And she, of course, is a survivor of our 3-year separation. Mm-hmm. And she's also a mental health counselor who deals with this kind of thing. So she had a lot of insight into all of this. And, you know, another thing I would add too is, you know, let your children see you leaning on God. That can enforce their faith, and just to know where you are, you're leaning on God in the middle of the trials, and that can give them an example of what to do when they have hard times as well.
During your 3-year separation from your husband, what was the best piece of advice that anyone gave you, either in counseling or for family or friend?
Well, the best piece of advice, one of my friends, I was out talking to her and, you know, telling her all the problems and everything, and she said, focus on God. You know, put your husband on the back burner and focus on God and let him show you what he wants to do with you. So I would say that is the most important thing, is to don't focus so much on your spouse, but, you know, let God show you what he wants to show you. And another thing that was very important to me is the idea of giving it time. In fact, this particular friend, when I was out, you know, talking to her about all my problems, she said, Linda, he's confused. She said, call him up and tell him to take a year to figure himself out. And I said,
a year, said, that's a long time.
Yeah, it is. I said, a year? And she said, yes, think about it this way. If he takes a year and he figures everything out and you get back together and you have 20 happy years after that, wouldn't it be worth it? And I said, well, yes, it would. And as it turned out, of course, we were separated for 3 years, but we have, at this point, been back together for 20 years, and it has definitely been worth it.
As we bring this interview to a close, Linda, if you could tell separated couples just one thing, those who are listening in are healthcare professionals, physicians, dentists, physiotherapists, optometrists, you name it out there, nurses who might be listening, very stressful lives, lots of burnout out there. So I have a feeling there might just be more than just a few marriages out there that are really stressed out, maybe in trouble, or friends are in that category in a practice together. What would you tell separated couples who are listening, someone part of a marriage, husband or wife who's listening in?
Well, the first thing I'd say is there is hope. There really is. And the second thing would be to give it time. You know, don't put time limits on God. Give God the ability to do what He needs to do in each of your lives, because we all are fractured people. You know, we all need to make changes. And if you give God the time to work in each of your lives, you can come back together as whole people, both of you healthy, and have a healthy marriage. So that would be my number one thing.
Thank you for sharing your heart and for this book. And I thank you for joining us today.
Well, thank you for having me. I enjoyed it.
Hanging on to hope for marriage. You know, Pam and I lived among Kenyans for a couple of decades, and we found that divorce is actually quite rare among Africans. So it was an amazing adjustment for us to be back in the U.S. context for ministry. I've grieved over the number of broken marriages and hurting couples just in my own sphere of life and ministry in Bristol and within CMDA. I really think Linda's book, Fighting for Your Marriage While Separated, could be of great help to someone in your family or church or practice environment who's struggling in their marriage, or maybe for you because of your own marriage situation. You can purchase Linda Rook's book in our Life and Health Resources bookstore, and I'll give you that info in a second. But we also have another book that you might want to check out, and that is entitled Love is a Choice from the doctors of the Minerth Meyer Clinic. If you say things like, I just keep telling myself that if I try harder, I'll be able to fix him or her, then this book is for you. The Minerth Meyer doctors have written this book, which describes 10 proven stages for recovery from codependency. They emphasize the critical stage of seeing God's unconditional love as the answer to your deepest emotional needs and your hunger for love. You can call us toll-free for either one of these books at 888-230-2637, and one of our staff will help you, or just go to our website, cmda.org/shop, S-H-O-P, and you can order either one of these books. This week, I want to let you know about a special opportunity, both to learn and to provide a civic service. The U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, HHS, is seeking expert reviewers for grant applications for the Title X Family Planning Program. You know, this is a new day for Title X, as the program rules have changed. It makes it now possible for pro-life groups to participate. It's a wonderful opportunity for you to learn how the federal grant system works, especially if someday you might just be interested in receiving a grant yourself in your practice or clinic. It's a chance for you to ensure that our federal tax dollars go to groups that are very deserving and will provide the very best care for those in need. The task can often be done from your home and involves a modest stipend to compensate you for your time. To learn more, just visit our Freedom to Care, Freedom Numeral 2 Care webpage at freedomtocare.org/title-x, title-x. Lord willing, we will be back next week with another edition of CMDA Matters. But until then, I want to leave you with a powerful admonition from King Solomon for all you husbands and wives, and yes, a charge to all you singles. It's from Proverbs 4:23. I call it the Great Caution, because Solomon says, guard your heart above all else, for it determines the course of your life. We'll see you next week.
This podcast has been a production of the Christian Medical and Dental Associations. The opinions expressed by guests on this podcast are not necessarily endorsed by the Christian Medical and Dental Associations. CMDA is a nonpartisan organization that does not endorse political parties or candidates for public office. The views expressed on this podcast reflect judgments regarding principles and values held by CMDA and its members, and are not intended to imply endorsement of any political party or candidate.